Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hardman Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Arimple, and welcome to this week's Hardman Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, floods, world record attempts, and folk life. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that has been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by newshound Sam Turton.
Hello.
Jess Ward.
Hello.
Plus Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
That was very slow, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're really proud of that as well.
Oh, yeah, I was trying my best. We should just point out, we've just got you, haven't you, before you jet off.
Yes.
Where are you jetting?
Athens.
Ooh.
Never been to Greece. Can tick Greece off the list.
And how many are left?
There's too many left. I really need to quit my job and dedicate myself full time to scratching countries off the map.
Have you got a scratch map?
I don't actually. I've got an app on my phone, so I'm like virtually scratching.
Okay. So modern. are you going to stay just in Athens, or are you gonna
just a long weekend in Athens?
Very
this
nice.
Time.
Can we expect a postcard?
I will definitely. I'd rather die than not send a postcard.
It's been a barren week for postcards, hasn't it?
We've been waiting so patiently for Kurt to bring up the post every day.
Sam's been like a dog at the. We don't have a letterbox, do we, actually?
We do, but the post doesn't go there.
Oh, right, so that's probably why he's been waiting there and nothing's come through. But, yeah, there's nothing arrived from producer Emma in America.
No, she didn't think of us. She didn't remember us here.
She was giving it all the big chats on Instas, but it's not here, is it?
Actually...
Maybe she had stamp issues like you, Jess.
Possibly. I mean, my Porto one still hasn't arrived.
Well, yeah, but then last week, I was listening back to our podcast last week, and you started giving it maybe I put the wrong stamp on.
And that's,
suddenly, this dead cert
I
postcard.
Promise you, I definitely sent one.
I will look for a postcard. Is there any kind of image we would like to see?
Sam?
No, not really, just Greece, you know.
Just Greece. Like,
what about the,
Tony Zuko.
Is it the Acropolis?
Yes.
That, yes.
Is that near where you're going?
That's it. That is where I'm going. Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
So ancient things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Like pottery.
Whatever. Maybe if it's a cat playing a violin, you know, whatever.
Surprises.
Okay.
Well, of course, I was going to say good week, but it has been a very exciting week, especially for you two news reporters, because you've been pretty much camped in Laxey, haven't you, Jess?
Yeah, that's right. So exciting for us, but devastating for the residents that are... you know, dealing with the aftermath of the floods that have kind of just swept in and wrecked their homes. I mean, I went down yesterday just to kind of see what was happening and the clean-up, and also our Chief Minister, Howard Quayle, had come back early from his meeting over across in the Conservative Party conference. And, yeah, so I was walking through these houses and it was just awful. I mean, the water marks on the walls were probably about knee level just under. Their furniture had just been wrecked. People were kind of throwing out soggy carpets. But this one woman that I met, she was really worried because she had her house on the market for about a year. She's trying to sell her house and this has just set her back. And it's going to be a really cold winter and it's just miserable for them.
And Sam, you were a man on the ground, as it were, on Tuesday when this all sort of happened. It was the flood in Laxey. You were very wet, weren't you?
Yeah. What happened was I got out early from Onken in the morning to get pictures of like the prom and all that, because that was a mess. And then I got into work, it was a bit wet, so took my coat off. And the only thing I had was a woolly jumper. So then I went to try to get out to Laxey, because we worked out that if you went via Growdah, you could get in. Mm. So, like, you know, as if it's like Basra or something. Yeah. We worked out if you went via Growdah, you could get in. So I went down, I just had this big woolly fleece on, which got heavier as the day went on. To the point of when we went into the church, see if there was anybody who'd gone up there. They thought I was somebody who'd like been evacuated of the house. But yes, we spent the day down there, and it was just like originally we were down at the Dalwick Bridge and the Pepper Pot, whatever they call it, which was the new bridge. The last one had a bus go through it a few years ago, and that was the police had closed that off. So like, just yeah, we don't want people going over it at all. So we had to go up around the top to the school and back down Minorca Hill to get into the village. And when you got down there, it was just like an utter shambles. It was just a mess.
Chaos.
And well, it was a weird one, really, because by the time we got down, of course, a lot of the water had gone, and it wasn't that chaotic. It was more people just dealing with their houses at that point. But there's one house which it's on the front page of the Independent, where it's literally like two-thirds the way up the door on the ground floor, and you're just like, you look at you. I couldn't even work out where you'd begin to clean that up.
Yeah, well, that was one of the houses that I went into. So her name was Beryl, and she was saying how the water was so high inside, but actually around the back of her property. I mean, she showed me the water line, and it was probably like just up to like midway of my body. Really, is. Unreal. And apparently, a kind of nice story, I suppose, she's got a fish pond out the back, and the water had been surging in, and some firemen managed to save some of her goldfish.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We were there while that was happening, and I couldn't find Dave at the time, but there was just a surreal moment where firemen were going around in her back garden with the civil defence people, with, you know, them little nets that you give kids to go crab pooling with, going around their back garden chasing goldfish. And it was just sort of one of me going, what on earth is going on down here?
So, yeah. So Jess, how many people, is there a rough amount of people that have been affected by this? You know, it's obviously the Glen Road area which was hit the most.
That's the main area. It's kind of hard to tell at the moment, but quite a fair few houses have been hit. I mean, people are really, really angry. A lot of them are blaming some services for the lack of like river maintenance, and so there's like a historical weir down there that has like had a build up of tree trunks, and so has become a huge obstacle. And also there was a hole broken through the wall, which is the main kind of defense against flooding. That was they're saying that, well, that's a big issue that has possibly caused most of the problems there.
So there was absolutely tons of coverage of this in today's Magazine Independent, this week's Magazine Independent, which is on sale now. Six pages, something like that?
Seven, I think. It was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 24, and 41.
Now, that does sound like a complete sporadic... 24 and 41 are a spread, aren't they? They are connected, yeah. So there's loads of pictures from Dave, loads of great stories you two managed to get, and a lovely graphic as well with all the... a timeline of what went on Tuesday morning, wasn't it? Please do get down to the your newsagents and pick one up. And of course, Katie, for those who...
If you don't want to go down to your local newsagents, if, you know, maybe some bad blood there, I don't know. Maybe you've fallen out with them. Yeah. Maybe you just don't want to leave the house this weekend. Yeah, you can go to www.iomtoday.co.im and click on Digital Editions. And you can access any of our publications there for the same price or for a discount if you're buying more than one edition.
Which I recommend you would, because they're all good, aren't they?
They're all very excellent editions.
Spectacular.
Right, so from floods, now we're going to go back to the weekend and a world record attempt. Now, I saw this, I think, did we touch on it last week's podcast? I can't remember.
I think so. I think we were quite sceptical about whether or not it would be broken.
So this was the Children's Centre who was trying to organise the biggest collection of fairies in one place, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then I think they were going to throw in, for good measure, the biggest three-legged race and then the biggest backward three-legged race, which I believe was already Manx held that world record because they did it on the prom a few years ago.
We had that record more than once as well. I think we had it, lost it and got it back again.
Okay, but anyway... But the fairies one was the main thing, wasn't it? And they were trying to get people to the Villa Marina to dress up as fairies and then beat this record, which is, Sam, fairy record man?
Oh, I think it was in Leeds, and there was 878 fairies.
Norris McWhirter would be very proud of you for knowing that off the top of your head. So, yeah, so they were going for it. Now, drum roll, did they do it, Jess?
They didn't.
No.
I know, it was a bit disappointing. They did pretty well, I thought. I mean, I was surprised. They got a a total.
Were you a fairy? Were you there?
No, I was invited down by some friends, but I was busy. So they did manage to get 677 fairies down at Villa Marina.
Now, I read this story, and they actually at one point, they had more than 878, didn't they?
They had more. So... the amount of people who registered, it would have broken the record, but not everybody turned up. Some people didn't turn up in the gear, so they had to have a wand, wings, and a tutu.
That's quite a lot of gear to have, isn't it? But I believe Children's Centre have been doing lots of make-your-own workshops up to this, haven't they? But I did say the organisers, this has just whet their appetite, hasn't it? They're going to go again next year.
Oh, yeah, I think they're quite adamant that they're going to break it next year.
Katie, what do you think world record attempt the Isle of Man could try and take next?
Oh, well... It's I'm, a hard I'm giving this a lot of thought. That's why I'm pausing.
Sam?
Well, I mean, you got to think we've got a lot of world records anyway. I mean, as an island, we punch up well above our weight in the Guinness Book of Records. They've got the biggest water wheel in Maxi.
Mm-hmm.
You got the... Oh, we have the world's quickest... That's the one we'll get back. TT next year, we're getting that back. World's quickest road race.
Yeah, Ulster GB hold that at the moment, there.
So yeah, we'll have that.
Okay.
thank you.
Katie, any more sort of crowd-friendly ones rather than racing around the motorbike?
See, I don't think crowd ones are our strong point, given that we do have quite the small population.
Okay, so what would you aim it at then?
Maybe something like...
What about the world's biggest courier round?
I mean, that would violate all types of
health and
laws
safety.
And health and safety.
So you went for the...
What about a relay? Like a 24-hour courier delivery relay.
That sounds really
so
cool.
So like streets where two courier rounds would meet. They
no,
would
we just do it around the island. Like, so do you know when they brought the Olympic torch over? We could do it with a courier.
Like rolled up. So it's like a baton.
You actually want to use the courier as a baton to go around the island.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Well, can't Sam do that when he does the parish walk?
No. So how come he could walk with it?
Because he said he'll do the parish walk.
Yeah, but...
You haven't volunteered to do the parish walk.
I think there's definitely some mileage in this. I know you're worried about health and safety.
I am.
And committing us to something.
I'm very worried about health and safety.
I think you could totally do it, like a fundraising.
I'm not saying
initiative.
You couldn't. I'm just saying that.
You shouldn't.
You probably shouldn't.
What if we combined the two then, went for like TT next year and got like, put it out on all like social media groups and all that, we did it. It said, bring fairy wings, tutus and wands and all that for all the bikers over. Mm. We could not only break the record, but we'd have one of the greatest pictures ever in the Guinness Book of Records of like 1,000 bikers dressed up as fairies.
That would be cool.
Could do it with...
With couriers.
Yeah.
Yes.
After they've been read.
Yes.
And appreciated and enjoyed.
Wow. Okay, I think we're on something.
Because they are recyclable anyway.
Well, of course.
Newspapers are recyclable.
Couldn't we make the wings out of couriers?
Oh, yeah.
Then it'll be zero. And the tutus from couriers.
Because we did that with
put
our...
Put down
when
on
we,
your environmental damage.
When we entered the Bra Dash, we made pom-poms out of newspapers.
We did, yeah.
So, yeah, make them into wings.
I think it's definitely something we can workshop off-air and so that we can satisfy Katie's fears about health and safety and poor 13-year-olds being...
I don't want to hurt any distributors. I want us to be able to do an event and have, like, no distributors were harmed in the making of this.
Apart from Sam.
Except for Sam. Who still won't take on a permanent round.
I'm expendable.
Are you doing... Do you cover?
No.
Oh, wait, so you don't...
They're horrible, Uncle. They all involve a hill.
Well, yeah. Most places do. Wait, there's probably not a flat round, is there?
There must be.
Probably north.
What about like Douglas Promenade?
No, that's not. That goes up. I think possibly Crellin's Hill.
Genuine
question. And then up around near the museum.
Or all the courier rounds on Strava.
They should be.
Because then you could have like PBs and like King of the Hill and all that sort of stuff, couldn't you?
Oh yeah, you can make that so competitive.
I think we've got something for you to do next week when you come home.
Develop an app.
No,
the app's there.
The app's there. We just have to put all the rounds on it.
Okay.
How many rounds are there?
There are over 200. There are about 220 rounds that are currently.
That's 220 routes. People could be racing them.
We should make this a thing, like a
definitely
trail.
Thing.
I definitely think you guys would be more encouraged to take on rounds or do holiday cover if you were competing.
Yeah,
I think so.
And you know we've got a hot list of I don't know. I'm looking at the wall.
This
that's got
empty
on.
Wall.
Oh, yeah, of postcards. We could have like the quickest distributors in the Isle of Man, and they could be featured every week in the courier that they're delivering. Amazing.
You have to use some sort of Lewis Duckworth method though to work out like how many couriers they've got, the distance they've got to cover.
That's a good shout.
It's getting very technical.
And you have to get, they can't just throw it, they have to go
through
the box.
It has to go all the way through the letterbox or in the designated area.
I think again we can work on this. Maybe like it'll be like the gumball run for the courier deliveries.
Yeah,
right. Anyway, moving on. Talking of amazing things, there was a great feature on an amazing man in the was it the Independent this week? Sorry?
Yeah.
Major Kane, who you say has won the VC, didn't he?
Yeah, he won the VC. He was Victoria Cross at the Battle of Arnhem, which Wolf film buffs will know from Bridge Too Far, which I think is actually the second time I've mentioned that film in about 4 or 5 weeks now.
Yeah.
And he was actually at one point Jeremy Clarkson's father-in-law.
He was.
But yeah, he won the Victoria Cross for
Valor.
Valor, that was it, sorry, yes. No. And he was actually the only person to have fought in that battle and received the VC and survive it.
Really?
Everybody else was presented after they'd been killed in it. So that's definitely worth a read. I think it's 10-11 in The Independent.
Yeah.
That's definitely worth a read.
It's coming up to an anniversary, isn't it? And that's why the feature's been written.
Yes. I remember reading the email. I thought it was a really cool thing. But we've got a picture of it as well, explaining all the where the Germans were, where the British were, and all that. It's really good. Little graphic that goes with it as well, and pictures of him and the story of everything, so that's definitely worth a read.
Yeah, if it's a story you're not well aware of, please do get The Independent, because it is a good read, as Sam has put in this week's notes.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
So talking about history, Sam, there's been a petition appeared online this week about the closure of the Folklife Gallery at the Manx Museum, which is in the basement, I believe, there.
Yeah, it is. It is a bit of a weird one to find. Like, have you ever found it?
I'm trying to think. Like, I do remember when I saw the description of what's in there, and it all seems vaguely familiar, but it's in the basement, isn't it? It's not seemingly not on your natural route round the museum.
No, it's not. You sort of got to look for it. It's got the Manx giant, Cayley.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a thing of him, and you can see how you measure up to him and all
that. Yeah, I'm like halfway up, like his belly button. It's horrendously how tall the man was.
He was a big lad, to be fair. But have you?
No, I've never made it down there.
So they're talking about making it into a TT exhibition space, aren't they? And this has caused a bit of controversy online, hasn't it?
Well, rightly so. I mean, we've got enough TT displays if people want them. There's actually a museum up in Jerby that has loads of TT stuff. They go up there.
So you're very much on the petitioner's side on this.
Yeah, I mean, if they want a TT museum, build them. If they want to do the grandstand up, build a TT museum in there.
I read it, though, and they were saying that it does need a lot of work doing. This is just, you know, the first part of clearing it out, so they think there's damp problems and all sorts of stuff like that.
So there's damp problems, but they can put bikes in there.
They're going to secure the damp.
Put the stuff back in. Because they're saying about sending up the House of Manan, and that's just... The House of Manan needs a lot of updating anyway. I mean, Manx National Heritage needs a lot of money put into it, because the things are starting to look dated. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't see why you need a TT display in there.
But did you not see that the footfall when they had a TT display was the biggest they've ever had?
Yeah, and do you know what year they used for that?
The centenary year, when
we had more people for TT than we've ever had.
Let's do a straw poll then. Would you be more interested in seeing a TT exhibition or a Manx Folklife exhibition?
Yeah, I'd go for Manx Folklife. I feel like there's more variation, where TT, you kind of, it's a bit repetitive.
Katie?
I oddly agree with Sam on all of this. I think I would like to see a Manx Folklife exhibition in the Manx Museum.
Mm.
But there's place for both things. Like the plans for the grandstand. If they have a whole museum, like in Jerby, if they have everything dedicated to TT, it doesn't need to interfere with the history of the Isle of Man and Manx way of life.
It's not just me you agree with. It's over 2,100 people on this island agree that should be staying as a folklife museum.
And do you think this position will hold any weight, or will it just be...
I hope it does. I really hope it does. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's a museum for the public, and that if the public say they don't want another TT display, then that's what they should. They want to increase people going to the museum. They should reflect what people actually want to see. They shouldn't just have. I mean, I'm not saying you don't have a TT display. Have one at some point. You know, do a rotation thing. But I just think that what's the point in doing it like this? Because then you just don't know where it is. We've had this discussion in the news desk. People don't know where it is because it's not well signposted. Oh, people don't go down to look at it. It's like, well, tell them where it is for a start. I mean, you've got to find some sort of like corridor and go down the stairs. It's not well signposted. It's not anything about it is well done, except the fact that the stuff down there is actually really interesting.
So is the gallery still open as we speak?
It is still open as we speak, yeah.
Do you think they've seen an upsurge in people? Because all these 2,000 people that want it to stay on, do you think they've all been down there and had a look?
I'd hope so.
Have you been down?
Not since the petition was launched, but I tell you, I was down there 3 weeks ago, I think it was.
Your mate who works there?
No, it doesn't work anymore. I used to go quite often when he was working there, because you used to be able to ask for a member of staff to give you a guided tour. I used to go around with, like, all the hats and all that sort of stuff you can put on. I used to make him take me on a guided tour.
Okay. Well, it's certainly causing debates across the nation, as it seems to be. So, well, I think it's just a case of watch this space and see if they do crack on with these TT plans, is it, Sam?
Yeah, well, you know. Let's just see what happens, shall we?
Okay. Jess, reflecting on one of the big events of last Thursday night was the auction of the Wallabies, Hospice Isle of Man's Wallabies. Very exciting, the end of the 14-week trail, all the big Wallabies, they've been all over the place. Everyone, have you been out, guys been out and seen it?
Popping around. I mean, it was hard to miss, really, wasn't it? They were just everywhere.
Katie?
Yeah, I had the app, I went round, tried to find them, wasn't that successful.
What was your favourite?
My favourite was that one that was on the quay.
Oh, yes.
With the mosaics, which me and you took that selfie next to.
It was very nice.
After we didn't finish last in the snake race.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, that's true. Well, we could have, but luckily Sam, you know, kicked in together.
Yeah. That's a memorable day for us.
Sam, your favourite? Did you get out and about and see
it? I only saw two of them.
What?
One was in Oncombe Park when I went to Oncombe Village Fair.
I loved the one in Oncombe Park as well.
Yeah. Where's Wallaby?
Yeah.
I saw that one because I went to Oncombe Village Fair Day. Mm. And I saw one up at Jervey when I was visiting somebody on Her Majesty's Pleasure.
Cool. Where's the one at Jervey?
Up at the church.
I did not.
They've got a really interesting display up in that church about Manx life in the 18th century.
Folk life?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. I didn't know I was sitting with the other man. Professor of folk life, but there you go. But yeah, so the Wallabies, they've been all over the place. Everyone seems to have loved them. They've gone down very well. Kids have lapped it up, haven't they? But they went on sale on Thursday to their forever homes, I think was the way it's been put.
Yeah.
And they've made a lot of money, haven't they, Jess?
Oh my goodness, I mean, everybody was so shocked when... Because they were kind of sharing the results live on their Facebook page, and the total came to £250,700. And
that's incredible.
It just blows your mind.
Yeah.
So, the one that had the highest bid was Wallaby in the Jungle, and that went for $25,000.
Yes.
Let that sink in. That's just incredible.
If you'd bought one of the Wallabies, where would you display it?
Good question.
Well, I thought about this, and I spoke to a couple... I was at the auction, and I spoke to a couple of people that bought them. No, Bob bidding, just, like, looking. And I was actually volunteering. Yeah, because...
You're a good soul.
No, mostly because my wife made me do it. And I was watching what was happening, and that was one of the questions. Like, where are you going to put it? You know, and because some people bought more than one.
Yeah.
Some people bought two or three. And I thought, well, it's a lot of money. Obviously, it's going to a great cause, but for maybe just a conversation piece at a dinner party and stuff like that. But there was one, and this lady said was talking about putting in her son's bedroom.
Oh my goodness!
It's just as you know, like a thing.
Just a general.
Because he was a really loved it.
It's
so
one of the
much.
Large ones, isn't it?
Yeah.
Gosh.
So when his friends come round to play, and he's like, "That's just my Wallaby."
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Because they're not actually that heavy. Because obviously, when they were out on display, they were on a concrete plinth, which is apparently an optional extra.
You don't have to have the concrete.
Because it looks
so
quite
it's
solid.
Like fiberglass. So you but it's you. It takes two of you to move it, but they're not overly heavy. So I think one of them has gone to the Man in Hotel.
Yeah, that's actually our one that we've spotted.
Yeah, Where's Wallaby? And that the guys moved that, just took it across the road from the Villa Marina because that's where the auction was. So you know, you don't need a winch or anything. They're quite small, so you can move them around a bit. But I don't know. Yeah, it's a very interesting question. I don't know. Most people will probably put them in a garden.
I think. Well, I was speaking to Rebecca, your lovely wife from hospice, and she says that their Wallaby is going to possibly go in the garden there.
Yeah, I think they've been gifted three, so they're going to have. So they're going to be, but they have lovely gardens up in hospice, so they'll look well right at home there. But yeah, Sam, if you had a Wallaby suddenly thrust upon you, where would you put it?
What a question. I think I'd have some fun with it. I'd have it, like, just peering out of windows and stuff, randomly.
Oh, you'd move it around?
Yeah, so I'd move it around. So, like, do you remember the Weeping Angel thing in Doctor Who? If you weren't looking at them, they'd move.
I hate those things.
I'd do that. So I'd have it in, like, random places and just basically spend, like, a day running around moving it.
Would you dress it up?
Yes, I absolutely would. I'd have it dressed up as, like, a Victorian gentleman. Largely because I was told that it's very inappropriate to have it painted as a dictator. So,
I wouldn't be recommending. You know, obviously, they've had these artists spend hours working on these. You wouldn't like then coat them.
So I put a top hat on. So I put like a top hat and a cane.
Yeah.
and then like maybe get like a big cape and all that.
And
just if you see the monocle,
put it out your window just to scare
just like
passing
peering
children.
Out the window.
But that when you've just said that, it's reminded me on Circular Road there is a window, and someone has a life-sized cardboard cutout of Danny DeVito at the window.
No.
You're joking.
It's on Circular Road.
There's a house on the way into Bella Cella, and it's like opposite a museum, and they've got a Dalek kind of facing out of the window.
The first time I saw that, about 9 o'clock at night, I was chucking it down, and I was going to pick my sister up from the airport, nearly crashed into the wall. So I was like, what?
Yeah, it just catches your eye.
So, life-size cutout's still a thing?
Yes, very. Yeah. My friends used to have one of Nicolas Cage in their windows,
oh,
too.
Oh, God,
why?
It's terrifying at night time.
I think we should get one of Dave.
Dave Norton?
Yeah, just go popping around the office.
Probably
in his full-on winter regalia.
Yeah.
Variety of poses.
See, a few years ago, there was a couple of years above us at school, there, and the head of sixth form, Mr. Cork, couldn't go to the prom. Like there in the year prom, he was always like the special guest, him and his wife, and they got him as a cardboard cutout.
Is he just reminding me of that, The Home Alone, where he was, it was Michael Jordan's cutout.
On the little train.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so we need to get a picture of that Danny DeVito. That's
I've actually got one on my phone.
Can we get Grace to put it on our?
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's quite bad because I had to really zoom in, but I was looking and I was like, that man's very still. And then really looked in and I was like, that's Danny DeVito.
What's he doing here?
So I think this is the point of if you've come across any cardboard cutouts on your journeys around the Isle of Man, please do get in touch.
No one's sending in our pictures.
No. Yeah, I'm so disappointed.
I have not seen that cat since. I'm worrying that I had some sort of aberration. Cat in a tie is quite a big thing.
Oh, yeah.
But I did take a picture of it, so I am not, you know.
You've not made him up.
Not made him up.
Did you have a really rough day that?
No, yeah. I thought I had a lovely day
we
that
can't
day.
Can't all be hallucinating a photo.
But yeah, if you have seen pictures of Danny or any other C-list American celebrities, please do get in touch.
How
he's
dare
not
you.
C-list.
He's stars.
One, he's not a celebrity. He's an actor.
Ooh.
And two, he's in the best program on television.
He is indeed.
What's that?
Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
What is that?
The funniest program ever made.
It's like Friends on a ridiculous amount of alcohol.
All horrible, horrible human beings.
Sounds like worth a watch. So let's say if you've got these pictures of Danny, who is an A-list actor, please do get in touch at IOM News Podcast. Is correct, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
On the Twitters and, of course, the Instagrams.
Instagram, yes, you're right.
All about the gram.
Yeah.
Right, moving on. Sports story of the week. Now, I don't know if we discussed this last week. I'm pretty sure we did, but I'm not 100%.
Watty, our sports editor, certainly did.
Yeah.
I mean, he was describing it to me, and it sounds ridiculous.
An extreme triathlon, the first ever, took place on the Isle of Man last Sunday. Now, how is this? This is what it was meant to be. A 3.8-kilometre open water swim from Garwick Bay to Laxey.
Mm-hmm. You get at what off, time, though? It wasn't at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Before dawn. So then you get on your bike, and you ride for 186 kilometres, which is roughly a Tour de France stage. All the way around the Isle of Man, going north, south, east, west, everywhere, up some big hills, up some small hills, you know, the whole kits and blue.
Just over, like, if you were to do the full, like, circle of the Isle of Man?
It's exact. It was, it went everywhere. 186k, yep. That finishes at the point of air. You're probably a bit tired at that point, probably thinking, why am I even doing this race, you know? Then, to get to the finish, you've got to run 40 kilometres.
40?
40 kilometres, including a 10k ascent of Snaefell.
What?
On all within, I think you had 17 hours.
I mean, John told me this and I'm still speechless.
So, yeah, the most. I think when I wrote about it in the last week's Men's Independent, I said it was the most extreme, grueling, toughest sporting event probably in the Isle of Man's history. Okay. So you add those combinations. Obviously, the parish walk's very grueling, the end to end cycle's grueling, but you're adding all these different combinations. Now, this took place on Sunday.
Was it the first time it's ever been done?
First time it's ever been held over here. Now, they had to cancel the swim because it was so choppy. So they had health and safety.
I know
proud.
Well, yeah.
You and Kurt would have been there. No, it's too choppy. Think of the courier boys. So they just did the cycle and the run. But even so, I think the winner's time was 11 and a half hours.
Wow.
I think there was 34 started, 13 finished.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, and I have to say, 7 of the 13 that finished were local Isle of Man. Repping.
Represent.
Second was Christian Varley. I did a bit of a... Alan Semple was the winner. He's from Aberdeen. Second was Christian Varley, a well-known local sportsman. So I did an interview with him in this week's Manx Independent. You can hear about his... What he's described, I thought, wonderfully understated, as a tough day out.
Wow.
And he also said, just to throw that in the mix, it rained on Sunday and it was very windy. So you can imagine doing all that in perfect conditions.
There's no way.
Yeah. Well, I thought you, of all of us, Jess, you were probably the most likely to do...
I don't know. I feel like I probably wouldn't have made that. No, I don't think I would have made that at all, actually.
But yeah, if you want to read more about that, that's in this week's Manx Independent, which is, of course, on sale now. Some great quotes from Christian. But yeah, tough day. Tough day out, yeah. And I spoke to him on Monday, and he sounded fine. I'd be in bed for about a month after doing all that.
Yeah, you'd be crippled, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Right, Samuel, back to 1956 now for This Week in History and the Isle of Man Weekly Times. And, you know, if we'd been about that day, that back then, 4 pence this would have cost us.
Yeah, it's not too bad, is it? Yeah. Not too bad. But anyway, we have...
A ton of stories, isn't it?
We do. And the main story was Mr. Irving to stand in West Douglas, Mr. Clifford Irving, who was to contest the West Douglas in November House of Keys elections.
We are in election year. Then, not now. And election fever, you have to be careful how you say that, it's ramping up, isn't it, according to the Weekly Times. Because not only was the Mr. Irving story, but there was a witty, dusty cartoon as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's quite a good one, actually. You've got the House of Keys there with a sign saying shut and gone fishing, and they're fishing for voters.
Ah, see what he did there?
Which is why it's enough said.
There's also some bits about pie crust, super duper bait, and cod only platform.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right. So I'm presuming that what he's alluding to is the House of Keys is now finished ahead of the election. Of course, in 2019, they actually go back next week. There's an emergency sitting next week.
Yeah, on Tuesday next week, there's an emergency Brexit sitting, which will also actually, there's been an emergency question added to that, which will be a statement from Big Chief Howard Quayle on the Laxey floods.
Ooh. Had a bit. So that's on Tuesday, isn't it? Yeah. But anyway, we go back to 1956. So that was one of the main stories. There was also what you've been talking about before. Onken wasn't actually a thing then, really.
No, Onken was middle. Yeah. Onken only became, I think... Oh, I'm going to get this wrong. I think it's the 86 election Onken became a constituency.
Only a whippersnapper in that regard then.
Yeah, but it was one of the bigger ones when it was established. It had three MHKs. So
that was one of the main stories. What else caught your eye this week in history in 1956, Jess?
There's so much to contend. I mean, I think this one is quite interesting just because I don't think we'd ever cover anything like it these days. But the headline is 1 in 5 Manx brides under 21. So they say that the Manx brides who went to the altar, the previous year, were under the age of 21. A total of 91 minors were married, compared with 69 in 1954, and 72 were female. So it just seems like a really odd new story. And I like how they've got wedding pictures at the bottom too.
But I'm not wishing to be sexist or anything. They neither of them look under 21, don't they, in the wedding pictures?
No. I was just thinking that.
Yeah, that's true.
They're more of a senior couples, aren't they? But yeah, it is amazing.
Established couples.
Established. under 21. And now that would be quite a shock if you got married under 21.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, one of my friends, she got married when she was 22, straight after uni, and I thought that was really... I mean, they're very well matched, but for me, I was like, oh, no way. No way. I think everyone... the times have changed, haven't they? Now we're all very, career-driven.
And it's not, people can live together before they're married, and they've got options to share their lives together without being married, whereas back then it might not have been, as easy.
Looked down upon.
Frowned upon,
yes.
So that stat was born out of, I think it was the annual, it must be census data, because they also talk about how many, the birth rate of the previous year shows a decline of 10 on the previous year. And there was 615 babies born, 332 boys and 283 girls in 1956.
More boys than girls.
There you go. Did you see the terrorist story?
Yeah, It was Manx National Serviceman, 21, Frank Corrin. I know a Frank Corrin. I do wonder. He'd be about the right age. He's a friend of my dad's. But anyway, he was wounded in a terrorist ambush in Cyprus. He was flown to, was it? Nicosia General Hospital by a helicopter. Later operated on. His mother received a letter from his son's commanding officer informing of his condition and that he should make a full recovery.
Well, if he's still kicking, he has, hasn't he?
Mm.
Yeah. What else for this week? Did you see the air figures? Nearly 12,000 up on 1955. Right, arrivals at Ronaldsway, I presume.
Is this reporting on Jersey, the island of Jersey's best ever holiday season?
I would suggest.
As in, like, reporting the rivals, the rival small islands.
Yeah, I would say, you know, look at where they've done, sort of thing.
Very small in the bottom right corner.
Yeah, Jersey had its best ever season. Despite bad weather, the summer of 1956 has been Jersey's greatest ever holiday season. Like,
there, also, air traffic has also increased.
Mm. So, yeah, there was a lot going on in the front page of 1956.
There's also a TV station on Sneefeld. Is that what's up there now?
I would say you've been misled by the phrase station. So I thought that, and I thought that was bold, having a TV station on Sneefeld. And then if you look, it's actually an antenna.
Yes, that's what I was meaning. So yeah. What is it? Is that what is on Sneefeld at the moment, or is that for like Manx Telecom? I have no idea.
No, I think you're right. It's still up there, or well, some of it there is. But we've got multiple ones now, haven't we?
All over the place.
Other receivers, as it were. Adverts, KG, any stuff?
Well, it's
for you?
Interesting to know that on Friday, October 5th, 1956, it was Carpet Fortnight.
Carpet Fortnight?
It's Carpet Fortnight.
Holy moly.
Buy a carpet, makes a home.
RC Canes, they had some cracking adverts back in the day, didn't they?
Yep.
The only store where you can obtain such designs, quality, variety and value. There you go. Is it still Carpet Fortnight? Do we celebrate that every year? Or?
I mean, I don't get a calendar notifying me of when
you
Carpet
have got
Fortnight.
A calendar, though.
Would you get excited about it? Like, woo, it's Carpet Fortnight.
Celebrate carpets.
Yeah. I love the fact it's a fortnight as well. Not a day, not a week.
It's like Advent. It's like an extended period to celebrate the carpet.
Are you excited about Carpet Fortnight, Sam?
Oh, I barely sit down.
Yeah, Carpet Fortnight. We'd love to hear that sort of thing. Hotel Sefton.
Yeah,
still there.
Plugging away. What are the other ones we had? C. Wallace, which looks like a jeweller's, is it?
Mm-hmm.
And they were flogging some lovely watches and Manx Ices, Superior Cream Ices. So that was this week. The Isle of Man Weekly Times from 1956, Friday, October the 5th, to be exact. Now, as always, Katie, we finished this week's podcast by going down linguistics lane. I'm going to use it again, Sam, because you enjoyed it so much last week. And the Manx word of the week. Now, last week we had...
Barcolia.
Correct. Barcodes. this week...
Which meant shepherds... I can't remember why I picked that word. There must have been some logic behind it.
Shepherds. Did we have sheep mentioned?
Well, there's always the food and farming pages that Julie writes, but...
Yeah, but we didn't mention him in the podcast.
They're always in Jess's
right.
thoughts.
I'm just thinking about just the pages in general.
So that was last week's. This week's...
Which is weird as well, because the weekend I did end up watching that programme, you know, like One Man and His Dog,
yeah.
Where they have the sheepdogs herding the sheep.
So maybe that...
Did you watch that on Countryfile?
It could have been.
That
oh,
very,
yes!
Yeah,
I saw that.
It was very interesting.
Mm.
So this week's Manx Word of the Week is... Jess.
Is that the Manx word?
Butcherer of languages.
Why do you always pick me?
Because you... can't say words proper.
this is so mean. This is... Okay, I'd say a foyer?
Kind of, but say it like really fast.
A foyer. Yeah. A foyer.
And for our Germanic listeners...
A foyer.
Ooh. Ooh.
Oh, Sam, you might be able to do the next part of this.
Hang on.
There's more.
Sorry. Wait, yeah, wait.
There's more.
Wait, there's more.
We're going with the Kentian tonight.
Mr. Bumble.
Katie?
No, I'm...
No, that's not fair.
F-O-R. F-O-A. Right, so we'll hear how it's properly done by the Culture Running lads now.
F-O-A.
Now, I think we were all a bit out there. Jess, you weren't too far away. No, you might
really?
That was horrendous. I think, Sam, you were good, but you cover a lot of it with just Manxness. You know, you could say, and it just would, you know, it's just your Manx accent coming out, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Manxness that Hilsey has a kind of charm.
Look at you looking horrified. You're from Honken. But yeah, so a couple of weeks ago, we introduced this new feature, didn't we, Katie?
Yes, because we've been playing on this website where it's just all Anglo-Manx phrases.
We did it when producer Emma wasn't here
yes,
on purpose.
We did.
And it's you know, people are talking about it all over the place now, aren't they? So that's why we've brought it back again.
Probably because producer Emma is shocked we put something in there without consulting us. She doesn't like change.
So this is our Anglo-Manx vocab, isn't it?
Yes, so I've been looking at the C's this week.
All the C's.
So we're focused on the B's last time.
We did.
But I found a couple. There's mm-hmm. three. Well, there's three to be precise. And these are the exact examples they've used on the website with the vocab.
Okay.
But it does need to be read with a Manx accent.
Well, enter Sam Turton.
Okay, so you have the first word, cheb.
Right. Which is offer.
Yeah.
I'm thinking he put a good cheb on what we're offer.
You went a little bit...
Scouse.
Sort of... No, I was going to say Yorkshire towards the end.
Is it from your time in Heartbeat?
Yeah, it was.
It's pretty good how, like, you just ploughed through it. You just got it done.
Yeah. So that is, it means offer or guess, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Cheb. I'm thinking you brought good cheb. Oh, that's it. Yeah, I can see what you're doing. Yeah, yeah.
So in your pub quiz, you know, if you nearly got the answer but not quite, you could be like, oh, it's a good cheb, though.
Yeah. Good cheb. We'll try and bring that back. What was the one we had from the bees the other week?
On the bag.
On the bag.
To be after the gossip.
Yeah. Yeah.
And someone's a bad stick.
Oh, yeah, which means a bit of a wrong.
Yeah.
So that was the first one. What else have we got this week?
We've got clicky. Means crazy.
Clicky.
Yeah. Yep.
You're real clicky.
Go on.
Louis knows he's as clicky as class.
Clicky as ass, it says. Class. Class.
As.
Okay, right.
And
then finally, which relate, there's a lot of slang for gossip, isn't there?
I think it just shows how much Manx people love
skeet.
Gossip. The skeet, yeah.
Is there also is the crab also like gossip? What
no,
does that mean?
Like Manx crab is like
it's been,
a bit of a
bad.
Well, it's someone that doesn't like change. Be like producer Emma.
Okay. Burn.
Right. So going for gossip.
We've got clish clash for gossip.
Okay, why does it say dish clash in the...
And then
script?
It carries on with... I'm guessing these are all variations of gossiping.
He knows all the dish clash of the town and the clish are clashing and they're falling out.
That was good.
You are, to be fair, if that was... We were using that, we could be describing you. You know all the dish clash of the town and clish clashing and falling out, don't you?
You do.
Because
right,
often our WhatsApp group is lit up by things you've heard at the pub. You are the gossip. Sorry, the clish clash girl of Honken.
Clish clash girl.
A few times, but about that, because I ain't no clish clash girl.
So we've got to see. We're on a 4-person campaign to bring all these Anglo Manx phrases back.
Definitely, I definitely will try and use some of these.
Yeah. Which one would you think you'd use most, Jess?
Definitely clicky.
Clicky.
That was clicky. Yeah,
clicky's
yeah.
really easy to get into everyday
yeah, I
conversation.
Think so. And I can definitely pronounce it. Maybe yeah. not in a Manx time, but near enough.
Okay. If we've piqued your interest in any of this week's stories, please do go online to iamtoday.co.im. A selection will be on there, but plus, failing that, you can go to our digital editions tab to get the whole kit and caboodle for...
The whole back catalogue.
For a pound.
For a pound. Each edition
good...
for a pound, not the whole back catalogue
yeah,
for
no.
a pound. That would be an absolute giveaway.
A bargain.
Be a good cheb.
That'd be a great cheb.
And then you'd know all the clish clash.
You would.
Yeah.
You'd be a bit clicky if you thought you'd get it all for a quid, wouldn't you? Right, until next week.
Bye for now.